Welcome to season two of Juicing, the People versus O.J. Simpson, the talk show that juices the events surrounding the O.J. Simpson murder trial. I'm Adam Papagan.
And I'm J.J. Stratford. For the next few weeks, we'll be discussing ESPN's O.J. Made in America and fact check it against our memories as Los Angeles natives who grew up around the ultimate media
trial of the century. The ultimate trial of the century.
The ultimate trial.
Because I feel like they throw around the term trial of the century a lot. This is the ultimate trial of the century.
They say trial of the century. We say ultimate media circus.
The ultimate trial. The penultimate. Anyway. Gigi, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing great, Adam. How are you?
I'm okay. Little frustrating thing happened to me. Uh-huh. You'll appreciate this story. I was waiting to tell you about it on the air to get your honest reaction. All right, so, you know, I told you that they mentioned the OJ Tour on the Bill Simmons podcast. He's a popular sports podcaster. After that, there was a spike in interest, all from men, and as we've talked about on this show before, men do not take tours. The demographic of a sports podcast listener and somebody who would take a true crime tour, they don't match up. And I think it's because it's a machismo thing, a guy doesn't want another guy telling his girlfriend stuff, like facts. It's like, oh, I could have told you that. It's that kind of thing. So, had a lot of interest in the tour. Everybody flaked out or canceled. And the big, there's a few more scheduled for the coming weeks, but I'm full on expecting these dudes to cancel at the last minute. They're just not that into it. So
they bought tickets and they canceled?
No. It was a gentleman's agreement that they would be there at this time. Or when it came time, I sent them the ticket link, just stopped responding. Didn't want to do it. So this one guy was supposed to give him a tour Sunday, him and his mom. I said, sorry, we can't do it. Is there any other time? I was like, well, I can do it Monday. He's like, oh, could you do it any earlier? There's a lot of rigmarole scheduling this tour, which takes less than an hour. It's like, it's not like a big, whatever else you have going on, like you could squeeze this in pretty early. So if like Monday night, all right, I get off at work at 6, so I'll go straight to Brentwood. I'll get there as soon
at
as
six.
I can at 6, you know, early time traffic I'm going to be sitting in to get to Brentwood. So I get to Paul Revere and I text him. I'm like, hey, let me know when you get here. I'm parked across the street from the school in a green Jeep Cherokee. He texts back, we're not taking the Bronco. I said, I don't have a Bronco. That was some poetic license the podcaster used in describing the tour to make it sound more interesting. There's no Bronco. So the guy texts back, we really wanted to take the tour in a Bronco. It's like, well, I don't have a 1994 Bronco. I don't just have cars on hand. And so he says, you know, sorry to do this. We're going to cancel right now. They didn't even go on the tour because it wasn't in a Bronco.
I think this person is a professional flake. And they just immediately made an excuse. They found a reason to put the blame on the host.
They were already in Brentwood, though. They already had to do the drive. And the guy ended up sending me $40 as like a cancellation fee or whatever. I would have gladly done the tour for the additional $40. And, you know, money is not why I do this. But so he just wanted to basically spend $80 to sit in a Bronco. Like, okay, I'll tell you what. How about for $20, I'll go on Craigslist and I'll find one you can test drive. what is this? He had to be in a Bronco? That's nuts.
That's really nuts because everything else is what it is on the tour.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go because I heard they remodeled Nicole's apartment.
Exactly.
Actually, I'm not going to go because they tore down the original house
Rockingham. It's still the tour.
I'm not going to go on the tour because Mezzaluna is now a coffee shop.
Yeah, like that part he was fine with. It just had, he just wanted to be driven in a Bronco. That's so weird, and it was frustrating.
But what was this person? This person came to you from the Bill Simmons podcast.
He actually called me on the phone before I'd even heard the podcast to tell me that he heard it on the podcast, and it was at the 50-minute mark he talked about it, and this, that, and the other. He's really excited, coming in from out of town. And, yeah, had to be in a Bronco.
But he still paid for the tour.
Half of it.
I think he wanted to flake anyway.
Hmm.
And he just was good at coming up with a reason. That's my theory.
Well, I have to, I'm going to have to maybe change some of the rules, pay in advance. I didn't, I thought I could trust. I thought I had something in common with these people taking the OJ tour. We were just interested in this. But I think what's happened is everybody who really wanted to take the tour has taken it now. And we're now at the bottom feeders, the flakes.
The flakes. And that takes the fun out of it for you. I kind of liked it when it was, once every couple months. I know you can't always do that.
We can't do that anymore at all because Eric's parents said we can't use the van. Did I tell you that?
You did, and I think that's really
funny. That's so not fair. But, believe me, I'm still going to capitalize on the murder of these two people as much as I can.
Well, if you don't, someone else will.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So is that guy banned from the tour?
If he wants to pay me... Well, I still had to drive to Brentwood, so he would have to... The $40 is not going to go towards another tour. He would have to pay again.
Mm-hmm.
And did I tell you about the people a couple weeks ago who bought tickets and didn't show? I mean, fine by me. I still got my money. But I just like, what... It takes an hour. Just do it. You get nothing by not doing it. Maybe
you miss out by not going.
Yeah.
If you're interested at all in any of it, it's going to be interesting.
People. Terrible.
Well.
Anything going on with you? Any OJ or otherwise?
Well, I went out to dinner with a friend of mine who told me that the previous night she went out for sushi.
Mm-hmm.
And guess who else was there? Cato.
Cato.
And she knows Cato.
Everyone knows Cato but us.
I know. I guess sometimes he hosts comedy shows. And he's a really good host. She said he's a really, really good comedy host.
MC?
Yeah, he's a really good MC. Even though he doesn't have the typical MC skills, he's really good because he's so nice.
So everybody says... I don't know, maybe I'll DM him on Twitter again.
Yeah.
Would love to get him. Or anybody. I mean, you do a show on, you do a show on Film On, for gosh sake. Alki David's network. This is not that different.
Yeah. Well, my plan C, I guess, would be that we find out when he's hosting one of those comedy nights.
But then he could just give us the runaround again, talk to this manager.
We're like, we want to schedule this in.
Yeah, give us a hard...
Give us a date. Come on.
Yeah.
It'll be the best interview you ever did.
Exactly. Who else is a Cato Kaelin fan besides us?
Like a true fan that has like respect for him? No one else.
Who's seen his show on Film On? Who's seen Eye for an Eye, the court show that he hosted? You know about that show?
No.
Eye for an Eye is amazing. They might still show it in the nether regions of the TV. But Eye for an Eye, the premise is a court show, but... People get revenge instead of just a monetary, the person who loses has to do something related to the case. And it's the judge is a judge with a bat. He has his justice on. It's a baseball bat. Uh-huh. His name is Extreme Akeem.
Oh,
and
so
everybody,
really good.
People chant, Extreme Akeem, Extreme Akeem. That was probably 10 years ago that show was on. So I was watching it. Where I was in my life when it was on. But it was great. There's an ATM in the courtroom, and sometimes he would order people to go to the ATM and get money out.
So Cato was the
host. He was the Harvey Levin of the People's Court.
He talked to the people when they come out.
Yeah, outside of the courtroom, getting people's opinions of what was happening. But it was Cato.
Oh, I can't remember the host of the People's Court, the original one.
Doug. Before Harvey Levin?
What was it? Oh, my God.
Who knows?
I'll remember at some point, hopefully in this broadcast.
Yeah. Just shout it out while I'm making another
point.
Totally
out of the blue.
Absolutely. Yeah, wouldn't be juicing if it didn't happen.
Well, my friend said that they were all trying to get into this sushi restaurant and that they got turned away because it was too crowded and you had to have a reservation. Even Kato got turned away.
Wow.
So his celebrity didn't really do him any good at the restaurant.
Well, maybe at the
Or Mezzalota. He doesn't flex it. He's just cool. Yeah.
Did she say who Kato was with?
She said a woman. Ooh. I'm guessing, you know, wife or mistress, friend. Who knows?
Who knows? Well, maybe we'll ask him about him on the show. All right, any OJ news to get to? Well, he's going to be taking a paternity test. According to that lying guard that guarded him in Lovelock, Nevada.
I didn't hear that.
OJ's going to take a paternity test for Khloe Kardashian. People think that he's her father.
I kind of believe he is, too.
She doesn't look black at all. She doesn't look anything
she
like his other children.
So much like Sydney Simpson.
No, she does. But
look at a side-by-side photo of the two of them.
Do you think that OJ would do that to Bob?
Yeah, sure. Why not? He did it to AC.
Yeah. And then Marcus Allen did it to him.
Yeah.
These football guys.
These SC guys. Yeah.
These SC guys are no good. I'm telling you, a Bruin would never do something like that to a friend. UCLA, you know, we respect each other and the sanctity of marriage. Mm-hmm. But we'll see what that paternity test says. He's probably dying to get on that Kardashian show.
Well, I also read a little blurb article that Kim Kardashian said that she opened the bag, the Louis Vuitton bag.
She opened it? It was just in the living room?
But in the article, I gotta find it now, but it said that she was like, people are asking, where's the bag? Well, it's at our house. You can that's where it is, which is not true because they did submit it to evidence later. So the whole, I don't know.
Well, it doesn't seem like Kim to be dishonest, but.
Do you really think she opened the bag? She
no
said it had
way.
Golf clothes in it and some toiletries.
Mm-hmm.
But no one puts toiletries in a garment bag.
Well, he was in a hurry to pack up. He just go mad.
They'll say anything to get. For people to get people like me to read their articles.
Well, that's for sure. Well, there's a new The People versus O.J. Simpson American Crime Story. That was an epic tale. But there's a new O.J. miniseries on the block. ESPN's 30 for 30, O.J. Made in America.
Oh, how come all O.J. shows have to have a really long name?
Because OJ, it's too short, I think. So they need their own spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's also sad that in this day and age, one of the only things that is being made in America is OJ. Manufacturing, it's all gone overseas. Yeah, they make Ford engines in Mexico. OJ, made in America.
OJ, made in America, just like you want it.
That's what we're making here.
It's kind of a peculiar title.
I think they could have done better.
I think they could have done better, too.
I get what they're going for, but it's a little on the nose.
Yeah.
As an American phenomenon, could only happen in America.
But the new show is really interesting in comparison to the previous dramatization.
Well, because this isn't a dramatization, it's actually a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's treated more like a film and not like a special on the E! Network.
Right.
It's less trashy. It's pretty trashy, though. You know, they'll do these nice cinematic shots.
Still talking heads and things.
Yeah, but I mean, this, what they're talking about is pretty, it's kind of in poor taste.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these personal details and stuff.
Right.
Digging that up. And it's really just more he said, she said kind of stuff. But you've seen the whole series.
I did. I binge watched it.
I have only watched parts one and two, but on Saturday night, I was out at a bar, and they had sports on the TVs, and the ESPN was one of them. And I just having a drink, I just look up real quick, and I just see some footage, and I was like, oh, that looks like Rockingham. And then it was the final part that they were showing. But I recognized Rockingham.
Yeah.
So I've seen it so much.
So we're gonna. I think we should talk about each episode per episode of our show. Just because sure. They're packing a lot of stuff.
They do. A lot of it is not OJ related, though.
Yes, but it's relative.
Okay, yeah, well, let's...
To a certain extent.
Let's see what we get to and see if we can spend 8 hours talking about an 8-hour miniseries, or maybe we'll get it done.
Did I really watch 8 hours worth of... I really was. I was just laid out on the couch on Sunday.
Well, that sounds a nice way to spend your Sunday.
I had like... Heat wave, and I just finished a big project, and I like had missed sleep. So it was a little treat.
All right, well, let's jump into episode one. I've got some notes here that I was taking.
Well, it starts with OJ at Love Lock.
Yeah, that made me feel bad for OJ. When he's doing his OJ thing, he's like laughing about sports.
He really comes alive when he talks about sports.
Mm-hmm. This is glory days. Mm-hmm. And it made me really feel bad for him because his glory days are so far behind him. And he's such a narcissist, he really, I don't think, realizes why everybody hates him. He just doesn't get that it's wrong to kill people. He doesn't seem remorseful. But when, like, the parole lady, whoever that was, like, brought up 1995 or 1994, and OJ was, like, so caught off guard, he's like, we're going to talk about this? He, like, got kind of mad. I don't know, it made me feel bad for him.
It made me feel, I don't know, bad is a word, but compassionate.
Empathy.
Yeah, because I feel like he's always been this persona, and then that one clip, you kind of see a little bit of vulnerability for a change.
Mm-hmm.
And he does try his old charms, like, oh, I started as a porter, I started cleaning, I coached the team.
It's rags to riches.
And then they're like, what was the date? We see here you were arrested in 1994.
But okay, they knew who he was, though. That was that was a cheap shot. But it gets into it. So the thesis of this documentary is OJ is a black guy living in a white world and he couldn't take it and he cracked and he has no connection to the black community and he distanced himself from the black community. He wouldn't take on any black causes.
I don't think he couldn't take it.
Living in the white world?
Yeah, I think he loved it. He couldn't take being rejected by it after the murders.
After, yeah.
Yeah.
He thought that he was part of it. I think that they're separate issues. And I think that it's kind of unfair to be like, oh, well, why didn't you want to do Black Panther stuff while you were at SC? You know, because I think that would have been... He didn't want to be associated with that controversy. He just wanted to play football. I also think when they were coming to him, they'd be like, look, what's going on in the community? You know, they're arresting people, they're beating people, they're killing people. I think OJ was literally like, you know, that hasn't been my experience. I'm really handsome. I'm really good at sports. Everybody likes me. All the civil rights stuff in the documentary is interesting. He was really good at football. I had never seen him play or anything like that. Any clips of him running or anything. I was impressed.
It does show that he is a great football player and like loves sports, loves being a jock.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have a problem with the fact that he just completely ignored the civil rights movement? You think that's okay?
Let's look at it the other way. I think it's annoying when celebrities use their celebrity to like take on some cause because it's fashionable. Or like when Sean Penn is always like weighing in on politics.
Yeah.
Like, a dopey mustache and he's going to tell me how to vote. Like, yeah, like buzz off, dude. Yeah. You were famous so long ago.
But what about when someone like Muhammad Ali asks you to join up with him? And OJ says no.
I think OJ was just like, look, you got this. Also, Muhammad Ali was a solo sport. He's an athlete in a solo sport. So he could take on any cause he wants and do these things. OJ was part of a team. And so what he does reflects on his whole team and the college and stuff like that. And you know, they're quick to point out the couple of athletes, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and stuff like that. Like, does Michael Jordan care about any kind of issues? You know, does... there's plenty of celebrities who don't take a political stand. And
but this is also 1968.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right after... I think it's what they're kind of laying out is that it's like he go... Like, the Watts riots happen. Mm-hmm. The next year, he's at USC, which is not that far from Watts,
mm-hmm.
right? USC is this huge, rich school, but it's smack dab in the middle of, like, a poor neighborhood
mm-hmm.
with, like, a lot of crime and issues mm-hmm. and drugs and whatnot. So you can't – it's kind of hard to ignore.
But he didn't want to dredge up the controversy in the past. I don't think that's... And also, like, he doesn't care about anything besides himself. So how is he going to speak intelligently about civil rights or anything like that? He truly... I think it was not a racial thing. I think it just was not on his radar in the same way that sports is not important to somebody like you or me. Like, he viewed the problems of the world as, like, lower than sports. Sports makes sense. And I think that's why people like sports, is because it's very like, okay, this guy's against that guy, and they got to move the ball over here, and it takes a couple hours, and then you're done. And it's, like, very easy to understand. So a lot of, like, dumb guys like sports, because it's easy to understand. So, yeah, I don't think it's... I think that they're different issues. I see what they're doing. They're laying the pipe for this is the situation that he walked into, is like this whole history with the LAPD and stuff.
Well, I think they're setting the stage to also show that he's kind of becomes this like symbol for justice or something, but it's not. He really, you know, he becomes a black hero in the 90s, but was he really?
No, he wasn't. He was just, do you remember those Hertz commercials?
I do.
I'd never seen them.
Yeah.
Those were cool.
Those are all, yeah, they're awesome.
He's having a good time.
It's like old style advertising, too.
Mm-hmm. With the voiceover guy?
Voiceover, and it's kind of like, well shot and kind of fun.
They really interviewed all sorts of people for this documentary. They're the director of the Hertz commercial. Talk about someone whose glory days are long behind him. This guy's talking about a car rental commercial he did. Whatever.
I don't remember that, but I do remember the director of Capricorn 1, OJ's first film.
You ever seen
that? Interviewed. You know, I have it, but recently I was at a thrift store and I just kind of bought a bunch of VHS tapes and Capricorn 1's in there. Oh. So, yeah.
I'll have to have a movie night.
Mm-hmm.
With that.
Yeah.
He was talking about how OJ was like a decent actor. That was weird.
I thought that was very honest, coming from a director standpoint. You're about to make this film and then the suits tell you we want this celebrity who has no acting experience besides Hertz commercials, which aren't that well acted, but that's kind of part of the charm.
Hey, he was running, wasn't he? I believe he was trying to catch that plane. I don't know. I don't think that he's such a bad actor. And I also, seeing all these clips of him throughout the years, I don't think Cuba Gooding Jr. did a very good job playing him. Because OJ was like this big personality, you know, he's always like, just like Jill Shively said last week, he was always like making his presence known. And
party guy.
Yeah, talking to people. And so Yeah, I don't think.
But Cuba Gooding Jr. really wasn't in the OJ TV show.
That's true. He was
He
something I don't
didn't
remember.
have many scenes.
Mm-mm.
It's just really. He could have played it dopier or like happier.
I think he should have played it like more entitled. Because that's how OJ was. They do talk about OJ's gay dad.
I know, and I had seen on Twitter, shocking new fact. Like people are just like finding that out for the first time. Should have been reading Dominic Dunne's column. You wouldn't know. They wouldn't have known back in the day. But I think that his dad being gay is a big part of him turning away from his life.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think it's re it factors in really strongly.
Because he just equates just growing up in the ghetto and the projects. I don't know what the correct term is. But yeah, Petrero Hill, San Francisco, and like this life where he's like got all this drama because his dad is gay. He doesn't talk about his dad being gay in If I Did It. But he does talk about that, like he didn't get along with his dad for a long time and finally
He doesn't,
made peace
he's in
with him.
denial about it, or he's not come to terms with it. He's not okay with it.
Definitely.
Because one of the times that he beat Nicole Simpson, it's because her gay friend kissed Justin. So he has a real homophobia issue.
Definitely.
But also, it's just a choice, like, you know, and if you're poor, you live in the projects, your dad leaves you. Your friends find out your dad's gay.
Yeah, so he's just like, all right, I've had enough of this. So when he saw, yeah, an opportunity
New
to get out of it,
life.
And he did kind of, although it kind of seemed like even as a child, everyone liked him a lot, and he kind of just got a pass on everything, got everything handed to him. Even in that scenario, like he got to USC somehow. Remember when he got to meet, who was it? The like famous baseball player? It's in the TV movie. When he's like young and he got in trouble. It's like Willie Mays, and was it
Yeah,
Hank
Willie,
Aaron?
was it Willie Mays?
No. See, we don't know
Yeah.
sports. But the point is most kids when they get in trouble, they gotta go to juvie or do some community service or something. He got to meet a sports star. Yeah, so he was always getting preferential treatment.
Well, he's very confident. He's someone they talk about how he is just real self-assured. I think he might be a little bit sociopathic.
He is. He addresses it, and if I did it, he says he had to take one of those sociopath tests.
Oh,
But
really?
then he's like addressing it. He's like, one of the questions is, when you walk into a room, do you think everyone's looking at you? They are looking at me. I'm O.J. Simpson. That's because like he well, it is a focal point.
But I think that it's that drive to be famous, to be known. He's like, you know, he wanted nothing more than for people to like see him on the street and know his name and point at him. That like love of self is also what makes you turn away from like any issues going on. I don't think it's like, I just want to play sports. And he's like, he doesn't want to do anything that's gonna harm his chance at fame and fortune.
He did say at one point, all he ever wanted to be was famous. Like, forget about sports or any of that. He just wanted to be famous, have people like him. So I get that. Way too much drone footage in this. Is this why they invented drones? They invented drones to kill civilians in the Middle East
And to
and pad
get,
out documentaries.
yeah.
Just pat aerial shots of.
Every time they'd come up, I would think about it, like drone shot. That's funny you say that.
It's like slowed down. It's like I get it.
It really dates the documentary.
The Scientology documentary is the same way too. Just drones and drones and drones.
Those are the defining factors of like this era we're in. And then in the future, they're gonna look back and say, wasn't that cheesy when they would do?
This is so cliche. So what else happened in part one?
Well, they get really into the history of police brutality
Oh
and
yeah.
the LAPD.
By the way, let me say this. All the cops in this documentary come across as racist. I don't think they mean to, which I guess is the sign that you're a racist. But yeah, they all seem racist. Every single one of them that they interview.
I'm forgetting his name, but the officer that announces that OJ was a fugitive, they interview him in this first episode. And he says, like, he wanted to be a cop because he loved how they were, like, portrayed on TV. And then they cut to clips of Dragnet, like a really fictional version of the LAPD.
Yeah, it's the LAPD is, you know, talk about OJ not getting it. These guys really do not understand why people don't like them. Just a organization that beats and shoots people. Hey, you're not gonna make a lot of friends doing that.
Well, I didn't know that it kind of started with Chief Parker. I didn't really know that history of him.
Yeah, Parker Center.
Parker Center.
Which is where they later took OJ for questioning.
But he was, I guess, the police chief from 1950 to 1966.
Mm-hmm.
Until he died of a heart attack after an award ceremony.
Why are the police getting awards?
Especially him. But I guess the LAPD used to be corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Really corrupt in the 40s. I think maybe with like mafia stuff, taking bribes and whatnot.
Wasn't everything corrupt in the 40s though? Like, well, I think that was just business. Yeah.
It makes for good movies, that's for sure. It's like a lot of the movies of that time are about that. But he gets when he becomes police chief, he kind of cleans it up. And they say that he started recruiting Klansmen. He'd go to Klan rallies.
That's right.
He's like, I cleaned up. And he's the person that introduced this more brute force, this more like proactive policing, which is like going in and like raiding people and like using force. So it started with him, and then I think all that training and that mentality kind of like trickled down into what it is now.
Mm-hmm. Like then Gates after that. That guy was police chief for a long time.
And he's openly racist.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they show a clip of him, and he's like, when he's asked about what's going on, like, after the Watts riots, like, what's happening with the black community, he's just like, I don't even want to send cops there anymore.
Like, yeah, he's why, like, you don't like us, we're fine, we'll pull out.
If you don't like us, we don't need to even bother with you, which is really a bad start.
Uh-huh.
For the LAPD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they covered the Watts riots in this first part. Any other mishandling? Because they really, in this part two, they really go into it. So I'm trying to save my thoughts on the riots and all of that for our next episode. Well,
it's interesting, back to USC, is that how it's kind of USC that indoctrinated OJ into being the person that he is. Which was always sort of my theory. It's like CTE, what is it?
The head trauma.
The head trauma. I'm like, no, it's like football mentality.
Which is based on head trauma.
No, I'm not talking about like hitting yourself. I'm talking about all the stuff like
the coaches
all that,
and stuff?
All the coach love, all okay. Being able to cheat on tests, like whatever it takes to like...
But that culture is perpetuated by people who used to play football who have the head trauma and are now passing it along to the next generation. Football is bad. It's no good. It makes people brain dead and want to angry and it affects their judgment. For what? Like, one team's going to win or the other team?
Yeah.
I don't get sports. I really don't get esports. Video games are like a like replacing that.
Esports.
That's worse to me, actually. I would rather have the head trauma and
right,
the
you don't
athletes
play
cheating on
virtual
tests
sports.
than, yeah, than people like getting famous for playing Call of Duty. That I have no patience for.
I think you get brain dead in a whole other way doing that.
You go blind from staring at the screen. Any kind of competition is bad. Can we all get along? Right?
Oh, then they get into his football career post-college where he was kind of miserable.
Oh, yeah, when he was bad.
He was bad because he wasn't a running back at first with the Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. They tried to make him a catcher. Yeah, that part was like the least interesting to me. It's like, I don't care about sports. But he was good at sports, I got to say. See him run down that field? And he did track too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a natural athlete.
Natural athlete who has nothing, no other interests. I mean, then he even excels later at golf.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, that's his world.
Yeah, because it's easy to understand.
And people love you for it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're better at, you know, there's like this mentality I don't understand is that when people are so mystified by athletes.
Yeah, it's just like they're naturally good at it and then they work at what they're naturally good at to get better.
So it's like, yeah, if you have all that power, then why risk it?
Why risk it? The episode or the segment ends with him meeting Nicole. And they had her high school friend come on and tell the same story I've seen him tell in like three documentaries. Nicole goes out with OJ.
Oh.
And he rips her jeans. They met at the Daisy during the day. She was a waitress. And then he gets an apartment for her and that was it.
But they got that wrong in the TV show.
In the FX show?
No. Wait, they don't do it in the FX show. They do it in the TV movie, the 1995 version.
Yeah. Where do they meet?
They meet at the Daisy, but it's at night.
No, he's
but it was a lunch date.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And yeah, he corroborates that in If I Did It. So he meets her. They were a whirlwind romance. I think things were probably good for a long time. And it wasn't until the pressures of trying to be rich and life in Brentwood, I think he kind of took that out on Nicole. And then
really?
It just spiraled out from
I don't think Brentwood
there.
Was bad to him until after. I don't think it was.
But
I think
to...
he had a problem with Nicole once she started having her own interests. He was cheating on her a lot, and she confronted him. She wasn't just like okay with it.
Yeah.
I really don't think it has anything to do with, like, anything that's, like, it's just normal people stuff.
I think that contributed, or that was a lot, that was most of it, but a contributing factor was now that he's in this white world with all these millionaires and stuff and, like, trying to, like, get in the business world, if you're famous from being an athlete or an actor or a musician or something, you're wealthy, you have millions of dollars. The people who live in Brentwood have like $1 billion. Those people are seriously wealthy because they're doing the business stuff. They're doing boring things like importing car parts and things like that, things that are not exciting. And so I think he's, you know, he's into sports, he's competitive, he's trying to keep up with that world. And so that just, all the pressure has just kind of got to him. And, you know, we all know how it is.
I think it's like you can control how good you are at sports or what movies you're going to do, but you can't control when you can control everything in your life, but you can't control the person you love the most.
Yeah.
That's what's going to make you snap. I don't really think it's like, I don't think he ever had a problem competing with other people. He's always the best, super confident, always lived in the white world. As soon as he went to USA, which I think this documentary shows that he was submerged in it from the beginning, the white world is like a sense of like comfort for him.
Well, on that cliffhanger, how's he going to deal with his post-NFL career? We do need to get into an OJ product that we like a lot. Do you have a slide of it?
I do.
Okay, let's put this up. This was, you know, he was a businessman he had a lot of different endeavors, not just sports, not just Hertz Rent a Car. This is the Juice Juicer by OJ. It's a product that's on eBay right now. I hope somebody buys it. I really want it, but I know it's just gonna just take up space in my apartment.
$60.
It's in the box though. It's brand new.
I have the description because I think that's where I had it.
Wait, what does it say right there on the box? It says.
There's more.
But wait, what's the slogan? It says, "Do it the OJ way."
New in box.
Which I guess is killing your wife. That's how you make the juice.
Oh.
Why didn't somebody open this is what I want to know. Who thought it would be? They're gone?
Previous button doesn't work. Okay. Well, I guess I could go forward.
Go forward. There it is. The juice extractor. He's got a signature on it. Get vitamin-filled juice the OJ way. This means that there's probably an infomercial that exists of him talking about it. Like some woman... And he's like talking about the benefits of
juicing.
I'm
gonna go read what it says.
Okay. All right. Read it, and then I'll say it again because you're further away from the mic.
Be healthy and stay fit.
Be healthy and stay fit.
Now you can enjoy delicious vitamin-filled juice.
Now you can enjoy delicious. I'll do it in my OJ voice. Now you can enjoy delicious vitamin-filled juice.
The OJ way.
The OJ way. So yeah, there you have it.
I can't believe that exists.
It's kind of a no-brainer, though. His nickname is Juice. He makes juice. As seen on TV, there was for sure an infomercial.
Do you think Robert Kardashian was a business partner? This looks like his kind of product.
Yeah.
He kind of did like cheesy stuff.
Or that other white guy who's on it, who's on the documentary, the bald guy. Says he's the one who brings OJ into the business world.
Oh yeah, new and.
Hey, what's with those spots old guys get on their head when they go bald?
Oh, the Hertz Corporation guy.
Yeah, he's got all those
age
like,
spots.
Is that what they're called? I'm gonna get them, huh? I have to put makeup on my bald Humpty Dumpty head.
I
was thinking about those spots today. I was like, how do I avoid getting those spots? Age spots, you gotta avoid aging.
He doesn't seem to be fazed by them though.
I mean, you got enough money, you can
he's like,
do whatever you want.
I just deal in car rentals, not age spots.
Well, foreshadowing in many ways.
I did like how his friend said that Robert Kardashian was phony and he didn't, his childhood friend.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little story.
Oh, the guy with the, like, the raspy voice?
Why is his voice like that?
Smoking.
Is it?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. That's what happens when you smoke too many cigarettes, man.
Stay out of the sun, don't smoke cigarettes.
Yeah, and you'll live forever. And drink some orange juice.
Yeah, stay healthy.
Made the OJ way. All right, well, we're just about out of time. Do we want to end on a joke or something from I Want to Tell You? Let's do. We're right at the limit now. We'll do a joke here.
We'll do a joke. Okay.
Ooh. Okay. This is a saucy one, but it is 1 a.m. now, so yeah. I think it's fine. What does OJ do when he has an orgasm?
What?
Drop his knife and scream out his own name.
Pretty funny.
Drop the knife. That's a double one there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you didn't really laugh at that one, so let me try
yeah,
that one.
I just can't get a laugh out of him.
What's the one question every hunter asked whenever they saw OJ in the courtroom? Who is this guy's taxidermist? Man, I love a good taxidermy joke. I don't care what you all say. And that's going to do it for this episode of Juicing. Well, we'll be back with more parts about the 30 for 30 and things from the tabloids, fun segments. We got some guests lined up in the next couple weeks. It's going to be fun.
Good season ahead.
Yes, a great season. Maybe someday they'll do a 30 for 30 about juicing. You never know. But until next time, this is Adam Papagan for JJ Stratford saying, Don't squeeze the juice. Yes.
People, people, many yes men. When the money's gone, good things come to an end. What happens when the walls start closing in until you just can't breathe? What happens when you're spinning around so dizzy till you just can't see? What happens when?